Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 5 of Keep On Cybertruckin'. As always, I'm Eric. We have Will and Chase here. How have you guys been?
Real good. You know, it's this weird weather of Southern California. You know, one day it starts out sunny and then there's a wind event, or wake up in the morning and it's freezing rain all day for whatever reason. But you know, pretty good though.
Will, we're from California. We can't complain.
That is true. If that's the worst that happens to us, it's like, hey,
you know how many comments we're gonna get for you just complaining the bad weather in California?
Hey. Bring it on. It'll increase our viewership. I'll be the Howard Stern of this channel.
My family's in from the Midwest this week, and I'm pretty sure it was 29 degrees when they took off to get down here. So yeah. But I mean, we can't complain too. So Central Texas is always pretty cool, pretty great. But no, it's pretty good. We can chat about it a little bit later, but some cool events this last weekend. Really excited to talk about that. And then it's been good.
Well, let's dive in, because I forgot to bring up a topic last week, and I know we want to discuss it. Tesla insurance. I know that I have some experience with Tesla insurance, given my accident, and I have some strong feelings about them, but I know Chase has some feelings, so Chase, if you want to open it up, and then I'll kind of chime in.
Well, so... I think that this was my first time actually using Tesla's insurance when we purchased the truck, and basically our thinking was let's make the buying process as smooth as possible. So anytime something came our way, it was just like, all right, yeah, do it. And Tesla insurance was part of that because it just makes it a little bit more seamless. And I was kind of curious to see how it was going to go, mainly because I know that we have in Texas the safety score. And it sounds like it's in beta still, but it shows beta on the app. And I was very kind of curious to see how that was going to work out, especially because we're renting it on Turo. So we started out, and they quoted us at about $260 a month for Tesla's insurance for the Cybertruck for our dual motor, which I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's higher than a normal car, but with this Cybertruck, I get it. But it wasn't too crazy. And then the next month comes in, because it's for those of you who don't know, Tesla's insurance, if you're using the safety score, it's a dynamic payment based off your safety score. Now, I believe our score, I don't have it up because I've canceled it since, spoiler, but I think our score is about 88 or so. So it wasn't terrible in like 100 scale, but there was some warnings that obviously came up with people that were driving it during a rental or ourselves. And then the score for the next month from 260 went to 460 a month. And we're like, okay, that's ridiculous. So we're not going to pay this. And I have heard that I'm not the only Cybertruck in town that has had the same experience and also the same result, whereas we just canceled Tesla's insurance. So now, shout out to Progressive. We are at bundled with all our other insurance with house and cars, we're at only $165 tomorrow. So that's great news for us.
Nice. And just to be transparent, everybody, Progressive is sponsoring this episode. No.
I wish.
I'll call up my guys right now and be like, hey, can you call the favorite?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so do you think that increase in your payment was solely based off of the safety score, or Is there any chance that it had to do a little bit with the fact that the truck was being rented out in Truro? And they found now, or they somehow were able to know that?
Because it raises a lot of questions of what kind of data are they really scraping? Like, it shows in the score, like, line by line, like, forward collision warnings, excessive speed, and, like, all these other things. I'm like, okay, I'm really kind of curious, because we know that they have access to the cameras, so there's a lot of, like, questions there. Now, supposedly it is secure, so they don't actually have access to the camera data. So that is hopeful. Hopefully that's true. But yeah, I don't know. I doubt that they did it because of Turo, but I think it was because of the forward collision warnings was the one, like, red ding that, like, hurt our score. And I think that's what caused it, which makes sense because it's, like, people that have never driven Tesla before, especially with those, like, safety kind of features, are probably going to have that once or twice before. So, yeah.
And Will will probably have a little bit of insight on this too, given the fact that he's had multiple Teslas in the past. But for some reason, I feel like the Cybertruck forward collision warning is ultra sensitive. I mean, when I'm driving and there's somebody on a sidewalk, sometimes it'll trigger it. And so it's kind of a little worrisome that you're saying that if the premium did go up on your insurance and a major reason for that was because of the forward collision warning, but if it's really sensitive, then it's not that you were driving unsafe, it just the cameras were picking up things or it was warning you when maybe it shouldn't have. Because I'm telling you, there's been at least five times where I'm driving and it beep, 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 and I'm like, why are you doing that?
It's one of those things where, like, human brain is a little bit smarter than Tesla's brain at the moment. And it's one of those where most often what would happen when I see it is I would be in our neighborhood. We're just cruising at maybe, you know, 30 miles an hour or whatnot. And I know that someone is slowing to a stop, but maybe they don't put their turn signal on. But I know that they're going to turn into their neighborhood, their street. So Tesla sees, oh, car is slowed. I know that they're going to turn right, but the car doesn't. So I'm not slowing down because I know at that speed, I'm not going to run into them because by the time they turn, I'll have enough room. So it's like one of those things where it's kind of shitty that they would ding you for that because it's not like you actually did collide with something, but it's the potential of collision. And then who's to say that warning actually stopped a collision? You know, that's a net positive. That's not like something that I think would affect your safety score or insurance. You know, I think, I don't know. I think they probably are stepping too far with this.
I'm happy that they're not doing that in California because,
which is interesting.
I'm sure mine would have went up for sure. Just because, like I said, there's been some forward collision warning and then mileage, you know, I put in like close to 3,000 miles in the first month.
Let me ask, did you guys have the, how long have you had your Teslas? Like at all, any Tesla?
Me?
Yeah.
First Tesla I ever bought was in 2018.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have full self-drive with the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember kind of the lead up to over the last couple of years? You know, they did the download FSD button, but then it wasn't a button. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think right after that is when they instituted the whole, okay, you can have FSD, but it's not just a button. You have to comply with their safety score. And the Tesla Reddit hive mind absolutely kicked into gear. We found, I guess I say we because I figured out ways to circumvent it too. They noticed things like the safety score, you know, it would take forward collision warnings were literally the number one thing to absolutely obliterate your score. They actually used to have the equation on Tesla's website where you can how you calculate your safety score. I put it into a spreadsheet and then I started tracking all of my dings and what they were doing in real time, and you can see actually mathematically how they come to those numbers. And one thing that they found was that the forward collision warning was the number one single greatest contributor. And it was also the thing that everybody felt was the most deeply flawed for the exact reasons that Chase was saying, because it's like, I get the algorithm based on my current vector path. And given my deceleration, it is unlikely mathematically that you will decelerate in time where your distance does not exceed where the thing is that it sees in the vector path. So it dings you for it, even though it's one of those, but he's like in a turn lane or he's on the side of the road and I'm going around him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm on a road. I can't just completely, you know, drop speed. I'm trying to get around it, but it'll still throw that collision warning.
Mm-hmm.
And the once again, it's the Tesla lack of transparency or ever actually speaking publicly about the things. The forward collision warning, I'm sure, is one of those things where the insurers were just like, yeah, if we have a way to track the likelihood of this person disregarding factors that contribute to them hitting somebody, them causing an accident that makes them liable, aka us, their insurer, liable. So I think that they did kind of go off the deep end with how much they weight that specific thing. Because there were a bunch of other things. But back in the day when you were trying to get full self-drive beta, all you had to do was like reboot the computer on the way home. If like if you got a forward collision warning, what you would do is reboot the car with the two-finger salute. And when it comes back online, it would forget the forward collision warning. That was how most people ever got
I remember
enough safety
all that.
Score to get FSD beta. Like that was the lengths that people went to. They were like, yeah, if you just reboot the MCU, it doesn't even like record the drive or report your change. And since the safety score lives in the cloud, if you do that, it would skip it. But I have been wondering if all the Tesla insurance people had figured out. It's like if you do the two-finger salute, does it still report that forward collision warning? I'm wondering.
Chase is like, that's behind me now.
You shouldn't have to do that. Yeah. You shouldn't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. Literally no other insurance. There's nothing on that safety score that in my mind is, you know, puts it. It's not Minority Report. Like, you know, those four factors don't contribute to a higher likelihood one way or another. So I think, and then they monetize it. Then they bill you for it. And it's like, no, that's not the way this works, guys.
What I would like to know is if they're going to do that, right, in certain states where they're going to increase your premium because of unsafe driving, so to speak. Mm-hmm. If you're a safe driver, you have a high score, are they going to lower your premium? I doubt it. But will they?
I mean, that's...
It's got to go both ways.
So yeah, and that's the curiosity. So you ding your safety score, and therefore your premium goes up for a month. In the following month, does your safety score go back down? And that was a problem with the algorithm that calculates the safety score, because it's based on miles driven without autopilot engaged. So if you engage what was then, you know, enhanced autopilot, it would disregard the car's own forward collision warnings or you know, obviously the speed because you set it. So now, you know, and so now you're kind of in that bind with their insurance where it's like, okay, well, I can't even use the full self-driving I bought to help lower my insurance premiums. I have to be the one driving, the flawed human driver. I have to be sitting here driving. Like, you know, wouldn't it make sense to just do total mileage and let Tesla's full self-drive lower your premium? I feel like that'd be a great advertising for them. Be like, turn on full self-drive. We'll help lower your premium.
This debate is going to get solved this year, I think. With full self-driving 12 out coming out this right as we speak, right, the free month trial, it's going to get larger, and I think a lot of people are going to have that same question: is like where does liability really fall? And you know, even speaking up in the stars, like what if the amount of full self-driving you used actually would affect the score as well in a positive way? Mm. Because at that point, you know, who's at fault if the car got into a wreck during full self-driving?
I don't know how it is everywhere, but I know that in California, I Okay, I believe that I read that in California, when they handled all of these questions like 10 years ago, when manufacturers first started toying with it and Tesla first started saying, buy the Model S and then someday it'll drive itself. I think that somewhere like 2014, 2015, that they just set down the ground rules for in the state of California, if you offer a level, what you claim to be a fully autonomous driving vehicle, then the maker of the car, the creator of that software, they are the ones that are liable because they are technically the ones driving the car.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I mean, interesting legal battle for sure, which I'm sure they've already had a couple of issues with just the autopilot alone. But still.
Yeah, and talking about full self-driving, I know Chase kind of touched on it. They are offering, or they're going to be doing the, they're not, are they doing it yet? The free month?
It's
Yeah,
starting
it's going
this
on right
week.
now, I believe,
Okay,
this whole month.
okay. So they're doing the free month of full self-driving. I know there's a lot of videos online. There's a lot of
Thought of wheels getting curb rashed. I see so many people talking, they were like, yeah, it's just rashing my wheels everywhere, photos to boot and Reddit.
parking sounds like it's still rough too.
Yeah.
But I mean, seeing what it's done, at least so far, it makes me wonder if those forward collision warnings is going to get fixed when they push the software out too.
I would hope so, but yeah, I'm not sure.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's a thing where they're charging excessive premiums to people, and some people are just like, I don't want to change, so I'll just deal with it. Until somebody forces their hand about it, I don't think Tesla's running to fix the problem that's getting them netting them too much money.
True.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how all this plays out. But yeah, I think that's unfortunate that you had to deal with that increase and you had to go shop it around. You shouldn't have to do all that, and it's just. But luckily, you found somebody that you're able to lower your premium and.
I would have honestly shopped it around before we purchased the truck, if I wasn't concerned that it would slow our process of getting a truck.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I remember when they were like, provide insurance information. I was just like, Tesla insurance, let's just go. Just give me the car.
Give it to me faster.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I hear you on that. What I did, another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was, or you know what? We'll actually go to, because staying on that topic, we'll go to this poor gentleman that, got himself into some trouble. If I could find it. Not sure if you guys seen this guy.
Oops,
I haven't seen this one.
So this guy says that he was driving and the brakes wouldn't enable.
Oh,
They wouldn't engage. And he ran into a pole.
I think that
Curious.
this doesn't this fall into the classic, like Tesla's been dealing this with the unintentional throttle thing. They're like, oh, it's an electric car, it can just decide to go, and run over your children. Like it's always seemed more comical. And every single time Tesla just pulls up the vehicle data and they're like, no, here's the mo like literally we have six sensors on the brake or like seven sensors on the brake, and none of them triggered that you were pressing the brake or something like that, Most of the time, it turns out that the person was pressing the brake when they thought they were hitting the throttle, or hitting the throttle when they thought they were hitting the brake.
Yeah. Let's see. I think he does. Maybe doesn't. I was driving like usual. Release the accelerator. No, maybe doesn't.
So, I mean, he releases the accelerator, and assuming regenerative braking didn't kick in?
He says it didn't. It didn't kick in, so then he went to hit the brake, and it still wouldn't brake. And so he ran into this pole.
Huh. Well, I mean, the damage looks like it. He literally just ran into the pole and didn't even stop. So that's crazy. But, yeah. I only kind of ask in question because last weekend's event, I had a hard brake. And it felt like my brakes were slipping, but it wasn't like there wasn't there. It just, it was, I felt like ABS was kicking in, and honestly, it was just going too fast. The situation.
Yeah, that's, but that's a little, it's a little scary, you know. You don't want the car to not brake. And then you're talking about your braking thing. And then yesterday, actually on Monday, I had somebody, and it's just squeaking, but they go, hey, your brakes are squeaking. So I was just like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Squeaking certainly isn't something.
Yeah,
well,
it's like, not that
well,
big.
Well, 3,000 or 4,000 pounds. No. So.
My compressor is really loud. I don't know if you guys have the same. I mean, I hear the air compressor kicking on very frequently, and I'll just be sitting, it's like, wow, okay.
Still PTSD from that stupid ringing that I created myself, but I'll set it up.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any issues with sound.
Yeah, no. Look, air compressor, I don't think, I mean, I hear it from time to time. I think I listen to music or my radio too loud, so that's probably the thing that I don't
something
hear.
There's another underrated feature, is the sound system in it is, by default is amazing. Like they got two subs in it, and they've got what they call like a what's the spatial sound or something.
Yeah, we're yeah.
And it just sounds so good. Like it's it just sounds good.
I actually was on the Cybertruck owners forum, and I was talking about the sound system, and somebody mentioned that they went to a showroom and. Or they're somewhere with the Cybertruck, and they were listening to the music, and they go, it wasn't good at all. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, is it as good as an aftermarket, full-fledged stereo system, top of the line? Probably not.
We're talking stock. You know,
but, yeah, but come when you're talking about a stock stereo system, it is amazing. There is no need for any average buyer of this truck to change out anything with the sound system.
Yeah.
If you're an audiophile and you're really into that type of stuff, maybe you do something, but it is amazing. I have no issues with it whatsoever.
And I want to say, I guess I was talking about it, this week, I kept saying a couple of times that I feel like the best, I might have said it last podcast, but the best comparison for this out of the box is like the Ford Raptor of capability. Because it's like you're not going to take a stock F-150 and go Baja, but this thing just has so many like features that just come with it and so much capability that it's right there. It's
only going to get better.
Yeah,
that's the crazy part.
Are coming more too now with crossbars and lots of things. Like are very excited about.
Yeah.
As someone who remembers riding in my dad's 1987 Volvo 350 DL or whatever the hell it was, with the worst sound system I've ever heard in a car, ever. It's all been downhill since there. So I mean, you know, But yes, I you know, driving the Rivian, it's like I turn off most of the excessive audio features because they don't present and function as well as it does in the Tesla. I mean, just the Tesla feels like a nightclub, and it's got the audio to boot, so it's pretty sweet that way.
You know, I had a question for you guys, if you guys don't mind. How's Turo going?
Still going pretty good, honestly. I've been seeing more like last minute bookings, and a lot more the last minute bookings I've been chatting with have been saying, you know, yeah, I've got an invite to configure, or I'm waiting on my truck, and I want to know, you know, they're like, I could rent it for a day or two and get a feel for it, and then decide if I still want to take it, you know. So just solves them all that heartache of, I guess, picking it up. So, and it's been going really well. I mean, it's mostly just been a couple of those random, just, hey, you wanted to try it out or this kind of thing, but it still seems to be going there's still that same curiosity, I think. So it's holding up.
And pricing wise, is it, because I the reason why I asked that is because I've seen, I mean, obviously there's more deliveries going out to people and more trucks going on to Turo. So I'm just curious because I'm not on there. I just kind of wanted to see you guys maintaining the same rental price. Is it, has it gone down? You know, are you getting as frequent, you know, rentals? I guess I'm just curious.
I mean, I'm not sure what Chase's experience is, but so far from, I think that if I start to see a significant drop in interest, or if I'm, you know, obviously I still do my homework and seeing what the prices fluctuate to in my area. It doesn't seem like it's been pressed down much further, because yeah, I've seen like more Cybertrucks, but I've also seen them like already wrapped for Prime Meats or something, just, you know, just already doing the work, and I'm like, I don't think that truck's on Turo. I think I'm safe from that guy. And then it'll be somebody else to be like, you know, just an older guy who just got his Cybertruck, and I'm just like, I don't think he's a Turo host. I think I'm pretty okay. So that's been my second. Like the second safety net to this whole thing with the Cybertruck on Turo has been the notion of, okay, so even if they do ramp up the trucks, I mean, realistically, how many people are really willing to rent it? Because that first time you hand over the keys, it's a bit of a, I hope this works, you know.
Tesla offers a way to sign up for test drives. I feel like that's a big part of the market. And it's been a thing about the renters were people with reservations, and they're just waiting. One guy, he actually had it for a week, and yeah, his reservation is coming up very soon. So yeah, he's really trying to put it through his paces to make sure that he's ready for that purchase. Pricing wise, yeah, it's been pretty good. It's pretty much the same thing. So like anything that's last minute, I'll have a price about $500 a day. But typically most days are anywhere from $600-$700 a day to even $8,000 for like busy weekends. I know there's going to be some big events in Austin. And it's been doing fairly well. I had one that was like a birthday gift, which is that's awesome. I love to see that. And I don't know about you, Will, if you do like contactless handoffs, but I did get to talk to another Cybertruck in Austin that does Turo rentals, and he brought up a great point that I think I might have as an option. It's just adding them as a basically a temporary driver, so they can then open up their Tesla app. They can then unlock the car remotely, and you don't even need to.
Oh yeah, that's, I've been doing that. You haven't been doing that yet?
No, I meet them in person. Like,
oh no, I still meet them in person, but after I do the whole initial just meet and greet, I mean, I'm just like overshooting, but I always assume everybody who rents it wants to talk about it for a minute.
Same.
So I usually make myself available for steer by wire is cool, and you know, try this and blah blah blah. Just drive it around the parking lot, and they're like, oh, you know, they just ask a bunch of questions. So I want to, you know, kind of at least, if I'm going to try Turo, I want to kind of try and be the best host I can. So I'll stick around, chat with them a little bit, and then usually inevitably other people come and stare at the car and take photos. But ever since I was doing a different rental, and you know, they had asked, oh, can I get the app access? I'm like, duh. Yeah, we should be doing that like initially. So now every time that I do the Turo rental, you know, shake the hands, and I know that the vehicle's, I've given them the vehicle, because there's always that last minute. You can be like, nope, we're not doing this bike. As soon as I'm driving away, I usually generate the invite to the Tesla app in the Tesla app, and I'll just send it to them on the Turo app. And so then they've got it, and they can just jump through it real quick.
I tested out. So Farza did another video with Stinkin as well, along with everything. And then I did it with his rental. And it worked out. Yeah, it worked out really great. Because then once they bring the truck back, you just take them off as a driver, and then you're good to go. But I've been doing the same thing about price in Austin. I've been keeping an eye on the market, and everyone else is kind of in that same range. Like, I was worried that a couple of trucks on there were going to try to pull that number down into like the 200 kind of range. and some have tried, but it seems like everyone's kind of sticking at least to that $400 to $500 a day range, which I think is a steal. If you're sitting on a reservation and you're looking at $1,000 deposit, this could easily, you know, save you $500. Plus, you could drive around for a day, which is gonna be fun. Yeah, it's been pretty good. Like, April alone has paid for basically the wrap that we did, so it's been really nice.
Nice.
Yeah, the goal is to keep it rented as much as possible. And then, yeah, just keep it up, because like I'm kind of in the same way. I really like getting people excited about it and hearing their impressions, like when they before they go and then after they bring it back. Like, it's just always really really fun for us, because that's the fun. Like, we get to talk about Cybertruck all the time and then get to see their reactions. Like, I love giving people like test like ride-alongs and test drives and stuff. And even though this is not the fastest one, it still is really fast and it's really fun. But after hearing some of the Cyberbeasts talk, I really want to sit in a Cyberbeast and see the difference. Like, I know what's going to happen is I'm going to ride in one, they're going to launch it, and I'm going to regret not getting the Cyberbeast. But
yeah,
I don't know. That's the other thing too. It's like, it would have been the difference of me sitting here wanting and waiting for a Cyberbeast that I'm going to be spending even $20,000 more than I was expecting, and not possibly not even having the opportunity to do Tiro down the road. Because the estimate when we got our reservation call in December, they were just saying sometime in 2024. So like, it was up in the air. And it seems like that they're rolling them out a lot slower than the duels. Duels are like full on production right now.
Not hit that.
Didn't they say late 2024?
I wouldn't be shocked. But it just said 2024.
Okay.
If I remember the irrational exuberance that was like November 7th through the 9th of people getting those Foundation Series invites, I want to say I remember the timeline being something like, you know, they were saying December through March for what I consider, I know you guys is about the same time. So it's like, okay, so that was the all-wheel drive. And then the Cyberbeast, I think, just said April 2024 is what it offered me, I think I remember. And I was like, I'm not interested. I have a storied history of buying not the top line, top option vehicles, let alone Tesla.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So, I wasn't going to go for the Cyberbeast, but I still remember being April and being like, wow, they're going to get the Cyberbeast out the door pretty quickly, huh? Okay, good. And then as the night went on, or those nights went on, I think I remember the Cyberbeast people start seeing like second half of 2024 and just more and more dismal numbers for it. I think that it was literally just eventually became late 2024.
Yeah, that's what I remember. It was something to where when I saw it, I went, I'm not waiting that long. It seemed like months, right? But even so, for me, I wouldn't. Even right now, if I didn't have one and I got that email and I can choose between the two, I'd still probably go with the dual motor and solely. And I know it's not a big deal. It's not a big difference, but just I wanted as much range as I could get. And that's just solely where I was at because of the towing and stuff. I just needed I looked at it and I went, those extra 22 miles that they're claiming is the difference. That could be the difference of me being stranded on the side of the road or not. And I mean, I probably would never get to that point, but you never know. And so I just didn't ever want to be sitting on a side of the road going, oh man, why did I get this one? I should have got the other one, you know? So So they have a totally different motors, is what you're saying? Okay,
Yeah.
so there's two in the back and then the one in the front, and that's the tri-motor setup. Oh, I yes. You're right. Yeah, you're right. And that's where I think I was reading something that people were talking about weight distribution hitches on the Cybertruck forum, and I was chiming in on that because I guess Kyle from Out of Spec, the channel Out of Spec on YouTube, I guess he was doing some type of I haven't seen it, but they were explaining it, saying that he was trying to do some towing and the front wheels were just spinning. And they were kind of questioning like what's going on. He's not using weight distribution hitch, so that's not balancing it out, putting some weight on the back, whatever there. And I was explaining to them that because it's a unibody construction, the Cybertruck, you're not supposed to use weight distribution. And I know that from contacting hitch manufacturers, and they say not to do that, not to use weight distribution. And then also in that conversation with people, other people were chiming in, and that's what they were saying. They were saying the difference between the dual motor and the tri-motor is the tri-motor's motor, the main motor is the front, as opposed to the dual motor, the main one is in the back. And when you're towing, you want the rear wheel drive, right? Right. You don't. They don't make trucks with front wheel drive. You know, it's
yeah.
the rear wheel drive or four wheel
yeah.
drive.
Yeah.
And so
physics class, yeah, about the
yeah,
distance between the
it,
weight
it,
it's pulling.
Exactly. And so that was kind of weird to me because I thought you have a truck that you want it to do truck things, but then you made that decision to put on your highest performance, most expensive truck the main motor up in the front, which you don't want in a truck.
Or
it doesn't really make
a
lot of sense.
So the two back motors, being that they're a separate individual motor per wheel, it makes you wonder, so are they confident that the horsepower of those two motors acting in unison through the Tesla software gods is able to provide that kind of towing capability by uniting those two motors? Because it sounds like for our trucks, for the duals, yeah, the rear wheel is that motor, and then
yes.
for this one, they just took it and put it on the front because they had plenty of them sitting on the shelf or whatever. But the two back motors, if they're independent, and again, this is the whole, hey Tesla, tell us some good stuff. We want to hear some of this because
yeah.
it's like, yeah, I want to hear them come out and be like, oh yeah, on the Cyberbeast, yeah, it's two motors, and we were messing around with it, and we managed to get like 2,000 horsepower out of it, or something like that, by doing this, this, and this. You know, those are the moments that we're like, Tesla, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like waiting for the say. I didn't even know this stuff about what you're talking about with the rear motor versus the front motor. It's nuts.
I'm hoping
Yeah. Oh. I got a wife, two kids, and a dog. I don't need like below 4.1 seconds, I'll be honest.
Something.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as you, where my youngest son is usually the one sitting behind me, and he's a little more careless than my eldest, and so it actually works out where he sits behind me, because every time we get out somewhere and there's a car right next to us, I always tell him, "Don't open the door. I'll get out. I'll open the door for you," because it's a fear of mine as well. I'm not worried about someone hitting my door because, it's pretty strong, but I'm worried about him opening that door, and it's gonna do major damage to somebody's vehicle. So,
full on like into it.
So it was funny. I got a I was gonna redo the seal on my Model X while I'm still trying to sell it. The seal on the Falcon Wing doors, and I'd done some research, and somebody had recommended these U-channel rubber like 20-foot long coils to redo the seal. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. But then I actually have that vehicle on Turo now, and it's been on a rental, and I got bored, so I was like looking at the Cybertruck, and I was like, oh, you know what? I wonder what if I could do some trim lines. So I wound up using the rubber, the U-shaped rubber. I can send you guys the link for it. It's like 12 millimeter U-channel, so it snugly fits. And I put it on the I call it the DeLorean, but the Cybertruck doors on that edge, right from the button all the way down, and then all the way across the bottom. It gives it kind of a nice little look of refinement to the doors. And when you swing that door open, it now has an actual rubber gasket as opposed to 30 times rolled stainless steel coming at you, full force. So might be a good safety option for you guys.
I'd be interested in seeing that.
Let me find it.
For sure.
It doesn't feel like there's any kind of actuators or anything in there, you
No,
know?
no,
so for
no, there
instance,
is.
if you have child locks on the windows, wouldn't it be unheard of to put child locks for the actual door openers?
There are child locks on the for the for opening the doors from the inside.
From the back?
Yeah, for the back
Oh,
seat. It's in
okay,
the I think
cool.
it's in the I think it's in the UI and the not the dynamic screen. It's the screen before it. Pretty sure
Let's
there's a
do it.
child lock one. Maybe it's
Because that would
just the
solve it.
windows.
Because then you'd just be
Well,
like, okay,
William, you're
I'll let
supposed
you
to
out.
be our car in the
Eyes in
car
the
guy.
field. Yeah, we saw how wonderfully that went last time. I'll double check, and we can do
My
another.
favorite hint.
That was my fault, okay? I didn't click start stream on
No,
YouTube,
the
so.
disaster was my Wi-Fi signal out front. I was like,
Oh, your Wi-Fi,
I had to
yes.
bring my tablet back inside and let it finish uploading the entire episode.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, you were kicking out
But yeah,
multiple
the software
times.
feel like, because that's another thing I noticed this week, actually. I don't think we've ever talked about the manual release on the doors in the back. So you know how the front actually, it's like other Teslas where you have like that manual like, door opener. That's not
Yeah.
actually in the back seat. You have to, in the cup holder, there's a rubber gasket. And if you just pull up that rubber gasket, it opens a little hole, and there's a yellow pull tab that you can actually open the door manually that way.
I never paid attention to that.
I
I didn't
think it's
even
kind of
realize it didn't
crazy
have that.
because then again, if your
WTF.
kids need to get out in a hurry, then that's
But
kind
they
of a no-no.
probably did it because it damages the door, right? And I could see kids back there just pulling on stuff and,
So maybe the
eventually
fact that it's hidden is good.
damaging your door. Yeah. That's what would be my guess. I mean, worst case scenario, emergency, hey kid, jump over the freaking, center console and come through my door, But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Again, I would love if Tesla designers would just like talk about this. Hey, this is
Yeah.
what we're doing. Like a whole manifesto of like, this is how we build and design
That's what we
the
need for the podcast. We need to start doing Tesla AMAs. Get some people at Tesla to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
We got
Well,
questions.
we're trying to still get Farzad, and we haven't done that yet. So let's
Totally.
one step at a time. One step at a time.
They did
So
appreciate the towing advice. It sounds like everything went well.
good.
I think he did put up a video this weekend, so you can see he's went around with one of his old friends that is a you know, good old Texas boy that works in the oil field. So he definitely hauls a lot. He drives an F-250. And just to get his general, like, opinion and first impressions of the Cybertruck, first thing he said, it was, it's ugly as sin, but the wrap makes it look not half bad. So I'll take the latter half of that as well. So, but it's interesting. He did actually really like the power, like the instant acceleration, all that force, because he's never even driven an EV before. But that instant force with such a heavy truck, he was really impressed with. But
usually bigger trucks, it's like a boat. You're just stomping on the gas, waiting for it to move.
But the capability is not there for him, as he's saying. So, like, range with hauling, it's just not there. Because he can fill up to his 250 and go 500 miles on one tank, towing whatever he needs. So it's a big difference. Obviously, it's not sold out, but I get it.
I don't know what he's towing, and I don't know exactly what his truck, how it's configured, but I doubt he's getting 500 miles on a towing something.
But I mean,
I had.
But if that's what he wants to believe.
Yeah, I had a 32 gallon tank on my Ram 3500. And it's diesel, burns cleaner, more efficient, and I mean, when towing 7,000 pounds and my truck was rated for over 20,000, I would get like 300 miles towing, and it's only 7,000 pounds, so it's not that much. And if I was not towing, just driving, and I'm driving highway miles, I could get 600 miles, over 600 miles. So that's not towing. It gets cut in half when I was towing. So I mean, I don't know what he's towing, and I don't know what he's, but I don't think he's getting 500 miles unless if he has a bigger tank, which you can do. You can, if he has a larger tank on his truck, then yes, he's getting 500 miles then. So I don't know. And I can't wait for that. I wasn't sure about it, but I think for sure I'm getting that. And then speaking of range and all that, I want to talk about the Chevy Silverado EV.
Oh, I saw that. Oh my gosh.
So they're saying right here an estimate of 440 miles. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys know, when they first announced it, they said 500 miles. So they didn't meet that initial promise. They also stated that it was going to cost.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's $40,000, obviously the lowest trim. But the price for the first ones that you can order are going to be $94,500. Once again, a big difference. 0-60 in 4.5 seconds. It can tow 10,000 pounds. And they're expecting deliveries in mid this year. So I found this interesting because everybody wants to rip Tesla for not keeping their promises on range and price and all of these things. And here comes Chevy, and they're essentially doing the same thing. Obviously, the miles are more than what the Cybertruck, you know, they said 500, and it's really like 320. But still, I mean, they said 500. I believe it was 500, and now it's saying 440. They said $40,000, and it's almost 100. I don't remember what they said on tow capacity, but it's 10,000 as opposed to the 11,000 the Cybertruck's getting. So, found that really interesting. I haven't heard much backlash on this, but I wanted to bring it up and see what your guys' thoughts were. Yeah, we're not going to get killed. I am too.
It's ironic because I say the Chevy Silverado EV is ugly, but I have the Cybertruck.
Do you really?
Well, because it looks like the Avalanche.
It does look like an Avalanche.
And I hated the Avalanche. Okay, now you can't unsee it. You're welcome. I can't not see the Avalanche, and that was the worst truck they ever made, honestly.
It really was. It looked awful.
So that, I mean, if I could get rid of that, like, body trim on the back, I would totally do that. That would make that truck so much better.
Yeah, I was really excited about this truck, and I still am. I actually seen one driving near my house recently. It was getting onto the freeway, and I was kind of just going back past them. I was like this close, so close to just swerving, getting onto the freeway and chasing them down and going, can I please see your truck? And I was in the Cybertruck. They're going to go, what the hell? Like, the Cybertruck guy wants to see my truck.
So,
yeah.
Off the Spec as well did like a couple of videos where they got one, but only because they rented it from Hertz, who had them as like work trucks. So they're probably not even tricked out fully. That's
no.
Very interesting still.
Yeah, I had a guy on the Cybertruck forum too, and I don't know if I mentioned this at some point. This was like a month ago. He was in LA for business or whatever he was in LA for, and he rented a vehicle from Hertz, and they gave him the Silverado EV, and he didn't even request that. That's what they gave him. And so he just went on the forum and was like, hey, I got the Cybertruck. I mean, the Silverado EV. Mm-hmm. Like, this is super cool. Ask any questions. I immediately sent him a message like, where are you? I will be there like right now. And he was like, I'm actually like going to be leaving like any moment now. So I don't have time, you know? So couldn't make that happen. But yeah, I'm dying to see one like and just kind of look at it and mess around with it.
So I'll say this. I think that we're seeing more EV trucks. It's like a war that nobody really asked for. But it's you're seeing a bunch of different. So I think that one of the very valid allegations or issues with EVs has always been, you know, the notion of torque and horsepower. And I always get them mixed up a little bit, but I know that the whole, you know, EVs lack the issue of I think horsepower because of the way that the motors engage as opposed to a mechanical motor. You know, it's using electric motors, which I'm assuming is something similar to like a, you know, like three phase motors where it's just basically a rotor and a stator, and you get the rotor moving by having stator pass a charge, but I'm sure somebody in the comments will correct me. But I think that we're, you know, when electric vehicles were still hovering in that 5,000 to 6,000 pound range, you know, a lot of companies learned a lot about what to do with their electric motors and how to optimize for moving that much weight quickly, safely, efficiently, if you're heavier or lighter. And now we're getting into the age of towing, where it's like not only is the truck weighing almost 7,000 pounds, you're also talking about towing 11,000 pounds. You've gone from Model X, I think curb weight was 6,000 pounds or just under, versus now dealing with having the software and efficiency capabilities to optimize for two motors in our case, three motors in the Cyber Beast, and however many motors in all these other trucks, moving 7,000 plus 11 or 10,000 pounds, moving 15,000 pounds of ballast. And I think that we're doing some stuff with, or they're doing stuff with electric motors and the way that they're timed and used and built, that may be dictating a different direction for some of the truck world for the next couple of years. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to say, okay, you know, we did enough with the, you know, the six cylinder motor, but we need to have something bigger for trucks. Okay, well, how do you build that? What does it look like? Innovate, guys. Come on, do some cool stuff. So I think that that's where they're at with this problem. They've got years and years of diesel and unleaded fuel trucks and trucking and moving that kind of weight. But for electric vehicles, you know, aside from that one video of the Model X pulling a Learjet like many years ago, I think that they're kind of learning some new things. And I'm willing to bet that Chevy's learning, and it's resulting in them being like, all right, we're not just going to keep putting batteries in this thing to make it heavier to not achieve what we want. This is what we're going to build with the thing. It's 400 miles range. You're welcome. Like, that's just might be the point that they've all hit. They've all realized, okay, we need some fundamental redesigns if we're going to take hauling and trucking in that market seriously.
And yeah, I think, you know, these are the first editions, generations of EV trucks. So obviously there's a lot of fine tuning that needs to be done for them to catch up to ICE trucks, in capabilities and, the ability to do all those tasks. I do think, and I've been saying it for a long time, that once Tesla really fine tunes the new batteries, the 4680s, and they unlock them fully with the Cybertruck, even before we get to second generation Cybertruck, I think there's going to be a lot of fine tuning. I know we've talked about that. And
yeah,
you know, the charging rates are going to increase the charging rates, decrease the charging times. And mm-hmm. I think range is going to improve, efficiency, all that, I think, is going to improve over time. And so that's going to help.
I've trusted Tesla all along the way because I think that they're one of the few companies that tries to think in terms of future-proofing the best that they can. I think that there are some instances where, you know, the market pushes them in one direction. Sometimes it's managerial. Somebody's like, no, we're doing vision only or whatever. You know, I think that they generally realize that they build something mechanically that they can do more with, you know, vis-a-vis the Model S and Model X efficiency improvements, the 3 and Y efficiency improvements, charge rate improvements. You know, I think that they told me with my Raven refresh Tesla Model X originally, they were like, yeah, you'll never get above 120 kilowatt charge rate. And then somebody was like, hey guys, I did some extra math and yeah, we can. And so they just sent out the software update and it's like, now my car can charge at 170 kilowatts at the right charger. So I think that Tesla does a good job with, hey, by the way, guys, we put in these batteries that we didn't really fully unlock the potential of, but they're already in there. You're welcome. And these motors can do some crazy things with this. Let's show it off to you. Maybe that's why they're holding back on the real rally around the Cybertruck. They're letting Kim Kardashian sell them for now. And then by next summer, they can like have okay, we're going to have a Cybertruck day. Let me show you all the cool things we can do with this thing. And everyone's going to be like, whoa. But
your timing was perfect, William.
Oh Lord. Yeah. I do that too. I have a music video shoot every time I drive the truck anywhere.
Is this what you do? Yeah. Is this what you do when people are picking up your truck from
And
Motoro?
That's what I wear.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Right, leather there. Pants, a little tacky, I'm just saying.
Right there. Hey, William, yeah. We need you to reenact this. We need you to send a picture of
Okay, I'll see if I can put the outfit together. I'm down.
Someone actually brought up a great point about like a good critique of this. They went and turned on the headlights for wherever they were, but the shots probably would have looked better if they just put it into parking. So just the LED strip turns on, and you don't actually have the lights in there. But if
I can go ahead and tell you, Here in Hollywood, there has been a huge dichotomy in the world of cinematographers, and I won't take a lot of time on this. It's just that the influencers have a faithful crew of people who just carry cameras and film them at all times, and they don't know a thing about lighting. So for the most part, they're just cramming it. Oh, the laser light's part of the look. Just go, you know, it just looks awful. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, you just turn the light off, it would look so much better naturally or some other way. But like, no, they're paying for that laser light, and you know, she'll be done driving it by next week or something. Who knows?
Well, since we're, you know, kind of looking at some crazy stuff, I want to show what is the what were they thinking? I think this one we've
That was
talked about.
Kim Kardashian, wasn't that?
No, that was not that. Let
That
me
word thinking is doing a lot of work in that sentence. What were
What
they?
were they? Just leave off the thinking. What were they?
Yeah, what were they? What? Oh,
That
yeah.
she's greater.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I heard that this was up in Dallas too. Which, oh yeah, DFW here, hashtag. I mean, it makes more sense, but I don't know.
I just want to. I kind of want to see what they look like the first, when they fold in half.
What do you
Because
think
those
is
don't look
range?
like they could support anything,
Can
let
you
alone a
access those?
7,000-pound truck. I mean, maybe it's got some additional sport inside or something, and that's the aero cap. Who knows?
I just don't understand it.
Because
I don't
even with
see
the bigger
what's the
tires,
appeal.
like you can see how
Yeah.
close it is to that front fender. Those are big tires. It's gonna be like
Yeah.
30,
Yeah.
Well,
38
I
inches
believe.
total.
Well, yeah, these are. I think they're saying they're
Oh, 30-inch
30
wheels.
inch? Yeah,
30-inch
30
wheels.
inch.
30-inch wheels. And then
Yeah,
and then they got like
tires.
pretty much no perspective on the tire
So, yeah,
or
that was an
aspect.
easy one for me. I go, this is definitely what the heck were they thinking, man?
There's so many things you do now. I think like a range test for sure would be interesting. And then the very
Yeah,
next
these guys are
video,
worried about range. These guys are actually worried about range.
and then I'll go
Very next video would
exactly.
be a block
I don't
of
think they really
Velveeta
care about
going
much.
straight into
Yeah,
the wheel.
the range. Can it drive from the back where we have the garage to the front to take pictures in front of the billboard?
Exactly. I
Omar's
don't.
tires. Yeah, I think they're here in LA.
I'd almost guarantee those wheels came off that truck as soon as they were done shooting whatever social media stuff they were. I mean, you hit one pothole, that's it, you're done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's not
Chase,
it.
I know I do it. Chase, do you ever look at stuff on social media and see Cybertrucks being used and in it's the same color as yours, so you start to think, "Oh, is this one of my rentals? Is
Not
this what it
yet.
was used for?" Like one of the first rentals I had, this dude rented it for like 3 days, came back, he washed it. He was very nice. He was incredibly communicative. But I it's like, you know, he mentioned something about, "Oh yeah, I had to go wash the car because, you know, I had all the girls all over it." I'm like, "The girls? Wait, what?
Yeah.
What's going? What was this truck used for?" And I'm just like, you know, he was just like, and then left. And I'm like, "What just happened?"
There's a party happening.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into also the let's just knock it out, the wrap of the week. I've been
Yeah,
holding on to this one for a little while. It's a local guy here that I like the way what he did. It's different, it's cool.
okay.
Show you guys.
Like it. I like it. I would have chosen a different color for the front to blend with the back, but
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
In a way, what I would want probably wouldn't work. Because if you went with a darker color red, then you wouldn't feel that gradient towards the back. Mm-hmm. And it is just kind of expressive. So cool. Nice. Oh, man. Okay, and there's something I want to talk about with that Foundation Series tag.
Hmm.
Because so I was going to ask Chase, does the Cyber Beast have the badging that says Foundation Series on them? Mm-hmm. On the exterior. So in the back though, on the gate it had.
Can't confirm.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if he gets back to us in time, yeah. But the only reason I'm asking is because at the top of the Cybertruck Reddit right now, there is a vehicle. There's an individual posted. I got mine. This is something else, and it's a Cybertruck, but it doesn't have the Foundation Series. It doesn't have it on the front, right by the wheel.
Really?
Yeah. And nobody seems like I even posted. I'm like, are they delivering non-Foundation Series? And the person even replied to me. They were like, oh, it's a Foundation Series. And I'm like, okay, but it doesn't have the laser etching badge above the wheel well. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, maybe the Cyber Beasts don't have it, because I know that somebody had mentioned that the only badging on the Cyber Beast is the Cerberus on the lower right part of the gate. But the Cyber Beast does still have the Foundation Series indicator on the inside, on the headliner, or the dash right above where the glove box is. So when I see this photo, I'm like looking at this thing. I'm like, and I mean, this is a pretty high resolution photo. I mean, you know, this.
You're looking at the one with the trees in the back and the flag to the left?
Let me look. Let's see. Is there a flag? I'm looking at the one. It's night. There's a Cybertruck. Like, it looks like it's pulling out of a parking lot somewhere.
I don't see that.
Here, I'll send it to the Discord. It's in the Discord right now. I mean, if it's a pointless rabbit hole, I don't know. But it's like, this looks like a high-resolution photo. When I zoomed in and looked at it, I did not see the Foundation Series.
Oh, you're on Reddit.
Badge,
oh,
yeah.
I see.
So I don't see the Foundation Series badge.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I thought you said the Cybertruck forum, so I jumped on here, and there's a guy that posted a picture, and same thing, doesn't have the Foundation Series.
So, I'm wondering, like, is this, what is this? Yeah, so what's the deal with having, I mean, did they cover it? Is this a wrap, and it just happens to look exactly?
Here, I just sent one right now to you guys as well. Here, I'm going to go ahead and...
Yeah.
Share this so people could see, because people are gonna be like, "What the hell are you guys talking about?"
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard to see for people, but right here.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a Foundation Series.
You don't see a Foundation Series badge on the front quarter panel, and I saw this picture, but this one's a little blurry, so you can't really tell.
Yeah.
But this one is pretty clear.
But if you pull up the Reddit one, too, you'll see, yeah, it also.
Let me see if I can.
And, I mean, you know, I tried commenting. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of engagement around it because, I mean, nobody's posted, hey, I'm looking for my, I'm going to pick up my non-Foundation Series. Or I was asked to configure a non-Foundation.
Here it is here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my laser etching does not look like incredibly visible. I mean, under certain circumstances. So,
yeah.
But it's just seeing some of these trucks that make you kind of wonder it. I'm like, okay, maybe the laser etching wasn't on point that day, but Yeah,
No.
exactly. That was my
No,
other
this is
point. Oh,
not
yes.
enough.
And or a PPF, because it wouldn't look like that.
That's interesting. Well,
Dun
we
dun
who
dun.
knows? That's a good. I'm
So,
glad you brought that up.
and so then tinfoil hat from that one onto the tinfoil hat for the other one. With those photos that we've been talking about in Discord, what's with all the trucks just sitting around? Like somebody had posted in New Jersey at one of the Tesla delivery centers, like two rows of more than 10 Cybertrucks per row, just sitting there, just chilling. And then there were the other photo that had been posted again on Reddit and some of the guys that do the drone flyovers. There's like just dozens of Cybertrucks sitting in the outbound gate. But I'm like, are they going places? Are they actually getting to people? Or are they just sitting in lots like this? What's happening? Yeah.
It is interesting because
And I
I've
thought
seen
that
some photos.
I thought I had seen somebody had posted that they were like that they still had their Foundation Series invite and that they had been, they went back and revisited it and they tried reordering or tried doing the order then and they had a VIN number like within a, like a week or something. I mean, it seems like they're eager to continue with the Foundation Series deliveries, but I mean,
Well, I do know that there was somebody that posted on a forum somewhere, I don't remember exactly where they said that they were out of town and they got the call from Tesla to that the truck was in, ready to come get, and the guy goes, I can't get there. And they go, Well, if you don't get here by, 2 days from now,
they
we're
give
gonna
you
give it
2 days.
somebody else. We're gonna give it to somebody else.
Yeah,
So
I think that.
that could then be that, because I did see a guy, sorry, William, but I did see a guy say that he was calling the service center like kind of nonstop, and there was a cancellation, and so they were able to give him a truck. Like they were like, oh, we'll just give you this one.
So
So.
interesting.
Well, I'm not sure if the Reddit guy and the forum guy are the same guy, but if they're not, there's two. So.
That's all the evidence we need. Guilty.
Question.
I feel like they're saying that like okay we're they're able to produce 1,000 a week, but I still have only heard like VINs registered up to 3,000.
I thought I
True.
seen, and don't hold me to it, but I thought I seen someone claim they were like 6,700 or something.
Really?
But I could be wrong. I see a lot of numbers all the time, and they could be meshing together. Did you guys notice, or did you see that Ford is hiring for a steer-by-wire? They have a position open for a
Ooh.
steer-by-wire mechatronics electrical engineer. So it seems to me that Ford is at least exploring steer-by-wire for the
Yeah.
Lightning, other vehicles, who knows?
I mean, it definitely makes sense. The technology in the Cybertruck, if it's the way that they talk about with, the different components, Ethernet connected together, and if that leverage is the same thing that allows less overhead cost in the build of the vehicle, less copper and whatnot, then it's like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Do it.
And this gets me excited because I keep saying in my videos that this needs to be put in every vehicle moving forward, whether it's an EV or not. I mean, this, as you guys know, I mean, when you're driving a Cybertruck and you're comparing it to any other car, it's crazy how good it is. It is really, really nice, and it's kind of raises that question, why hasn't this been done sooner? And but they're doing it now, and I'm happy to see that Ford seems to be jumping on that train, and Hopefully more manufacturers do the same.
Yeah.
Between the deception, just steering, handling, all of that. It's so worth it. It's so worth it.
It really is.
In comparison to all the other trucks, in comparison to all the other cars on the road right now.
Yep.
So that being said, also talking about all of these trucks being spotted, you know, being built and delivery, how do you think that my third tinfoil hat for the night is, so you've got more trucks that are starting to be delivered, and then you've also got this new drive for full self driving for the month of free trial. And I guess I was kind of curious about this before. It's like, okay, so this is a big push to get people interested in V12. I don't feel like they're just going to be like, okay, buy V12 tomorrow. That's not usually the way Tesla rolls. Usually they're like, okay, you've seen what it can do. The price is going to lock in increased pretty soon. So now that you've seen it, you better get it before June 30th or something like that. And it makes me wonder, you know, again, what we've talked about with the Foundation series versus non-Foundation series, you know, if that comes true, I wonder what that's going to do for people who are like waffling on their Foundation series orders when they find out, yeah, I do want the full self-driving and I want the Cybertruck. So, all right, might as well pull the trigger now anyway.
Mm-hmm. We've mentioned before that whenever full self-driving would get to the Cybertruck, that's probably when they would stop Foundation series. So that could line up. If they were planning to stop the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been saying. I think that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for that full self-driving to stamp of approval. Let's go. Let's put it out for everyone. Increase that price tag, remove Foundation series.
If their validation process right now is they're hitting Hardware 3, so everybody's Hardware 3 vehicle gets it, but I believe that even the Hardware 3 or the AP3 vehicles that were legacy vehicles, you know, the Model S's and X's that still had the vertical screens, even if they did have Hardware Autopilot 3.0 or whatever, they are still waiting to get V12, even though these folks are getting a chance of the free beta for a month. And then I'm like, okay, so then once they get the Hardware 3 folks sorted and the legacy folks sorted, then I think it'll be like, okay, and by the way, we hit Hardware 4 and Cybertruck as well. So like by summer, I don't think it's unlikely, it's unreasonable to think that there's a good chance that they'll have a price to go with it, but a full-on, hey, this is no longer full self-drive beta. We've got supervised full self-driving. Give it up, everybody. You know, just a whole new ball game this summer.
I think so. I think it's coming, and it's coming sooner than probably most think. So,
And especially with their recent stock turmoil, I'm imagining that they're looking for something to kind of, yeah, we had a tough first quarter, but who else out there is actually getting nearly autonomous driving into people's vehicles? Who else is doing it? No, Tesla, buy stock.
Mm-hmm.
Send money to Elon Musk.
So is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about? I have one last thing, and then I think we're all good.
Nah, that was pretty much it. I've got all my conspiracies handled for tonight. I'll be banned from the Cybertruck Discord in a minute here, I'm sure.
That probably wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, those guys. Anyways, yeah, I said it.
I actually got banned there for a week. When we were waiting on the Cybertruck. I said something about how Elon needs to go to rehab, and I literally got banned for a week, or muted for a week, or whatever it is. And when I came back, they were like, no, you watch your tone. I'm like, yeah.
Those guys are too much.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys noticed I don't go on there that much anymore because it's too much. But the last thing I want to do before we sign off is I want to congratulate Rivian on their 100,000th Rivian built.
Yep.
I was happy to see that. It's also crazy to me, and I know they're a much newer company than Tesla, but when I hear 100,000th vehicle ever, it really puts things into perspective of how big Tesla is. But congratulations to those guys. I'm glad that they're keeping things moving and they're manufacturing cars. And so I just wanted to give them their flowers.
Yeah, I mean they did a, I mean, the 100,000th vehicle, definitely no shirk. I mean, or no shrug. You can see what now. Fisker's in danger of bankruptcy, and you know, I don't know. And, you know, just it's not easy just building up a car company. So Rivian's done a great job, especially doing it in what some will eventually be like. Oh, you're just living in Tesla's shadow if it's just the two of them competing really for the massive market. But I mean, they posted the R2 series and the R3 and R3X stuff, and I think that they got a lot of people really interested. And so I think that they're doing a lot of the right moves, and I, you know, I'm glad to see somebody out there is going to keep competitive, you know, keep competition alive, because sometimes, you know, Intel and AMD, or just, you know, you've got two, you know, Pepsi and Coca-Cola, you can have two industry leaders just dominate at the top, and there's still plenty of room for other innovation, but it's kind of nice when you have that competition of at least two main cores.
And I've ran into quite a bit of people, you know, when I go to different events or whatever, and you know, they're talking to me about the Cybertruck, and then, you know, somehow Rivian comes up, and a lot of people are excited, especially for that R3X. You know, that's, you know, so there's a lot of excitement. You know, there's people that are interested. Obviously, we have to wait, you know, for those vehicles to get released. But if they can keep things together, and we can get to the 2-3 years down the road and get some of those vehicles, the R2 and R3 released, I think they're going to put themselves in a really good position. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, they're already promising the R3 to start the price at about $37,000. And I mean, that's exactly the language that precipitated Tesla's rise with the Model 3. I mean, they were like, we're going to make a $35,000 vehicle. And, you know, they did briefly, but, you know, they made other vehicles that were significantly cheaper. And it opened up a huge market for them. So I really hope the Rivian guys have a lot of good luck with it. And as a Rivian owner, I mean, love seeing more of them on the road. So
yeah.
And now if just Tesla would license full self-driving to Rivian, I'd be stoked. I'd be so thrilled.
Just you think that's a possibility?
Yes. I think that they probably have, if they believe $200 a month is reasonable for enabling full self-driving on just a Tesla vehicle, I think that they would be equally benefited from offering that software to other companies and partnering with them to at least allow it, you know, just basically receive that revenue. I mean, they're already selling carbon credits to all these other companies. I think that eventually whoever wins the level 4 or level 5 autonomy game, whoever wins it, that, you know, they're going to be able to cash checks for years, and everybody should want to license it from them. And I think, you know, from what I've seen and heard from Driver Plus on the Rivians. Wait, what'd I do? What'd I say?
I thought you were posing, doing your Kim Kardashian pose.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I'll go do it.
You stopped. No, you stopped.
Sorry. That was funny. Okay.
You froze. Yeah, you froze. Yeah.
Gotcha. Anyway, yeah. I think that Rivian's going to keep clobbering it. And I think that they don't seem to take Driver Plus quite in the esteem that Tesla is like, yeah, we're going to make automated driving, automated vehicles, full self-driving. It's a product. We're committing to it. It's called Autopilot. It's amazing. Like, Rivian's like, yeah, I got Driver Plus on there. Turn it on if you want. It's fine. So I'm imagining that eventually, but they have all the same cameras. They have enough of a 360-degree view that Tesla's Autopilot relies on that Stitch 360-degree view. And I think that the outbound, the benefit of that is that it won't just work on a Tesla. It'll work on any vehicle that has the ability to produce a low-latency 360-degree video, because then you just pass that into the Tesla software or hardware if it needs to happen. Boom, you've got Tesla's full self-driving on your car. They've made it easy to integrate that way, but it's not as easy as I'm just saying. There's a lot of additional sensors and being able to drive the other car. But I feel like that's all stuff that could be easily attained if Tesla created an SDK or something like that to give it to other manufacturers. No. Yeah, and the IIHS pick of like the safest truck on the market or something like that, wasn't it?
I know I mentioned that would be the last thing, but we have our buddy Jay who's been commenting the last few weeks, and remember he had all those delays in taking delivery of his Cybertruck, and he was able to get it, I believe, last Wednesday, so it's about a week now. He says that his Cybertruck is going in for service tomorrow because his tonneau will not close all the way, and all of his cameras are out and not working, which is very frustrating, I'm sure. I'm sorry? I could ask him.
Yeah, I think that that was an inevitable part, or a speed bump to the ramp was going to be okay. Can quality maintain while we build more cars? And I think, yeah, we were talking about that before stream, where it's like we've been seeing a couple of cyber beasts recently who were like delivered and dead in an hour, or you know, the person had been driving it for less than a day, and suddenly it just became unresponsive and bricked.
Well, it's one of those things where they always say that as an early VIN with Teslas, you kind of get the short end of the stick because you get the panel gaps, you have issues, you're that beta tester, right? I feel like it's almost turning into the opposite. The early VIN numbers, I think, had less issues than some of the trucks that are being delivered now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a parabolic curve where it's like our VINs, you know, I think Eric, you said yours is like in the 500s,
Yeah,
and
500.
mine's in seven is 794. So it's like we were sub 1,000. I'm sorry, what was yours, Chase? 1,500. Okay, so like we're all early enough in the production cycle where okay, the RCs were 0 to 400. Or 300 or whatever they were. And then the vehicles that they were producing, it's like we can produce 10 vehicles a day and we know our QC is there for 10 vehicles a day. So they boop, 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 you know, they made those first 1,500, 2,000 VINs, but then as they started to ramp up, the quality control started to drop a little bit because they're getting outpaced by the vehicles, and then it ramps up to catch up to the production numbers, but we benefited because we got the vehicles that were probably a little bit more cautiously made. You know, a couple of extra turns on the screws, so to speak.
He says his VIN is in the 2500s.
Okay.
2500s, but that's kind of interesting as well, considering he took delivery last week, and I know he had some delays, so let's say it was produced 3 weeks ago,
Yeah.
say 4 weeks ago, and it's only 2500. That's only 1,000 more than Chase's. And Chase, when did you take delivery? So like a month, you
Yeah,
know, so
that's why I'm saying that like the ramp doesn't add up quite as much because we're hearing about VINs in the 3,000s or upwards, but we're still hearing about vehicles not being accepted at delivery or you know you've got 48 hours. Okay, never mind. We're gonna find you another one 2 weeks from now. You know, it just seems like there's you know something scuffed. I'm kind of curious. Yeah.
so he says that his VIN, he received his VIN on the 28th. So he re it took him a month to take delivery from the day he got his VIN, about a month.
Okay.
That's wild.
Mine was just under a month because I got my VIN, I think, on January 11th, and I got my vehicle on February 1st. And that was after January 11th, and then I waited two, and then during the 2 weeks that some of the Tesla service delivery people had told me is typical, I was like, okay, so it's been 2 weeks. Where's my delivery date? Where's my delivery date? Where's my, and then they finally were like, okay, February 1st, or let me schedule it for that. So,
See, I had a totally different experience. I received the call with my VIN on January 20th, and we initially scheduled for the 21st for me to pick it up. But then they called me back and said, you know what, we want a little bit more time because we want to make sure it's clean. We want to do a presentation for you because you're one of the first, if not the first, at our delivery center, all that. Okay. So, but I got the VIN on the 20th, picked it up on the 23rd, 3 days later.
Wow. Yeah. And it was because I heard other people had your experience, which was why I was like, okay, I waited my 2 weeks. It was January 25th. I'm like, where's my delivery date? Where's my scheduling for the delivery? And I never got answers from them until suddenly it was like, okay, we can schedule you for February 1st. And it wasn't even like a me go in. It's like they basically just set it up on the app and I just had to confirm it.
Yeah. Wow, that's where I'm actually surprised that you didn't get yours before us. Yeah, I actually got the invite on the 9th of December, and I actually took a day. I had told you guys, you know, my wife and I were going back and forth about it. So, well, I wasn't going back and forth. She was... I wanted it. She didn't. So anyways. All right, guys. Well, I think that's it. I think we covered everything we wanted to cover. I appreciate you guys. And till next week.
Yeah.
Episode 6.
See you guys then.
All right. Yep.